Queens are hot. The new season of Victoria starts Sunday on PBS. Do not call me. Mary, Queen of Scots is still in theaters. The Crown returns soon on Netflix with actress Olivia Colman replacing Claire Foy as Queen Elizabeth, which we're sure will be nothing like Olivia Colman's Queen Anne in the current sizzling hot film, The Favorite. And The Favorite is unlike any Queen film you've ever seen. It's early 1700s England. Queen Anne, hobbled by illness and grief after 17 failed pregnancies, each represented with a pet rabbit. Her close friend and lover, Lady Sarah Churchill, played by Rachel Weisz, is actually running the country. Enter Sarah's cousin Abigail, played by Emma Stone, reduced to being a chambermaid because of a family bankruptcy. In this scene, the new triangle plays out as Emma Stone's maid tries to serve hot chocolate to Coleman's queen when Weisz's Lady Sarah interrupts.
None for the queen. What? Well, you cannot have hot chocolate. Your stomach, the sugar inflames it.
Abigail, hand me that cup.
Do not.
I'm sorry. I do not know what to do.
Oh, fine. Give it to her. And then you can get a bucket and a mop for the aftermath.
Did we mention there's a lot of throwing up in The Favorite and wild dancing, and we watch as Abigail murderously social climbs right into the Queen's bed. No, this is not your mother's masterpiece theater. It is a disturbing, funny, touching look at women in power and love. On most U.S. best of lists, it also dominated Britain's BAFTA nominations yesterday with 12. Joining us, the man who put it all together, director Yorgos Lanthimos. Welcome.
Hi.
And Lady Sarah, Rachel Weisz, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Rachel, what a character. What a meaty, juicy character at times, especially when she had a writing crop, a frightening character. How did you feel about embodying her?
Well, it was wonderful to have such an incredible piece of writing, as all the three female characters are. She's not just one thing. She's not just a powerful, in-charge woman. She's fragile, vulnerable, ridiculous, absurd, in love. I mean, she's many, many, many things. So I think that was what all three of us enjoyed about right. Our parts.
And Yorgos, original screenplay by Deborah Davis and then Tony McNamara. You worked on it as well. In the historical account, Anne the Queen is quite frail, quite erratic. What appealed to you about that, first of all, that woman and this time in history?
It wasn't necessarily the time. It was the fact that this real story existed, to discover that these three women at some point in time had such power, that their personal relationships, their character, their behavior, their moods could affect the lives of millions of other people. So I just felt that it was rich in every way, both for the characters and the story and how they are connected to the rest of the world.
And onto this historical scaffolding, it really is true that Anne had this best friend from childhood, Lady Sarah Churchill. There were rumors that were talked about in the tabloids of the day that they were lovers. There really was a cousin of Sarah's, Abigail, who came in. Let's listen to another scene, and this is one in which you really can see early on Sarah's control of the queen, her domination. The queen enters a room to take a meeting with the Russian ambassador. Let's listen.
I'm ready for the Russian ambassador.
Who did your makeup?
We went for something dramatic. Do you like it?
You look like a badger.
Oh.
Are you going to cry?
Really?
Well, what do you think you look like? Badger. Do you really think you can meet the Russian delegation looking like that?
No. I will manage it.
Go back to your rooms.
Rachel, take a second and talk about working with the incredible Olivia Colman.
She really is an incredible actress. To play opposite her is just an honor, a privilege, and joyful. I think she has just a lot less skin than other people.
What do you mean?
Well, her emotions are very immediate. They're very unmediated and unfiltered. They just come straight to the surface. And she can walk a line between tragedy and comedy. Even in that scene, I think, she makes you cry from her vulnerability, but it's extremely funny. And so that mixture of groundedness and truthfulness whilst being hilarious. It's an incredible cocktail.
It's fabulous. And she really did kind of look like a badger. And Yorgos, talk about the look of the film, the men in the huge wigs and the powdered faces. It was more Versailles, you know, than Britain. And there's an incredible dance scene, which was right out of, you know, Madonna's Vogue video. You layered on this historical scaffolding, this phantasmagoria. What was that? What were you doing there?
I think in general, in many parts of the process of making this film, what we try to do is layer it with various contemporary textures. We knew from early on that we wanted to use contemporary dialogue and not necessarily try and imitate the way we think people spoke at the time. And that, you know, continue later down the line when we were thinking about the visuals of the film. The costumes, for instance, are loyal to the shape of the period, but we used a lot of contemporary materials like leather and vintage denim and plastic and 3D printed accessories that add this contemporary feel to the film and makes it feel more relevant.
Did you look at other period pieces, or did you just know this is not going to be in that genre?
We looked at various different things. We looked at period pieces that did things differently that were inspiring, like Peter Greenaway's Draftsman's Contract to Amadeus, Bergman's Cries and Whispers. But it was, I think from the beginning, it was for me the challenge and the reason I was intrigued to make this film as well, apart from the very strong story and characters, was to try and make something fresh and different and original.
Well, you succeeded. It's more like Survivor, or, you know, or How to Survive the Castle. Let's listen to another scene where we see some of that. At this point, we know that Sarah, Rachel, your character, and the Queen are lovers, and Abigail seems to be coming in on that relationship, and Sarah has taken Abigail the maid out to go shooting, and she shoots a gun right at Abigail and then calmly goes on. Let's listen.
Abigail. If you forget to load the pellet, the gun fires, makes a sound, but releases no shot. It is a great jape. Do you agree?
Yes.
Maybe we will think of a use for it one day. Sometimes it is hard to remember whether you have loaded the pellet or not. I do fear confusion and accidents.
Talk about a warning shot.
People will be careful.
You know, firing a warning shot. Rachel, I mean, that must have been just juicy to sink your teeth into that part of it, this sort of, you know, as people are saying, it's given new meaning to the phrase palace intrigue.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a game of life and death, but everyone's speaking in this kind of light, this light way. But the stakes are very, very high. I mean, the two women in the scene that you just played, one is running England and one is trying to usurp her. So it's it's high stakes.
It is. Did you ever worry, either of you, about it just devolving, and it didn't, into a catfight, claws out?
I mean, I think that that's often what fiction does with women in power struggles. I mean, men in power struggles would never, in a fictional version, would never. I don't know what the equivalent of a male catfight is, but you know, this is.
That's telling that we don't know.
Right,
don't
because
fight,
it's called,
I guess.
It's called life. It's called power.
It's called life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So these are complicated human beings struggling for power who happen to be women rather than the cliche of women clawing each other's eyes out. I knew from the script that that wouldn't be the case, and yeah. I certainly know from Yorgos that he wouldn't have the chicks in a cat fight.
And Yorgos, just a little more about that dance scene. Where did that spring from?
Well, we worked with a great choreographer whose work I liked, Constanza Macras, and I knew that I wanted to do something different with the physicality of this film. Again, I didn't want to have people walking, sitting, standing, dancing the way that we think people did at the time. So I looked for a choreographer that would help me do that, and we worked with Constanza, came up with things and fooled around, and we tried things and changed things, even in the last minute because of costumes and various other complications. But yeah, it was. I think it was fun in the end. No, Rachel?
It was exhilarating. I've certainly never danced professionally before. Yes, and the fact that the whole complicated, joyous, absurd dance is happening, the drama of the scene is on the close-up of Olivia Colman's face, the Queen watching, because she's got gout and she's in a wheelchair and she can't dance. So you see her envy of my character's ability to fly around the dance floor like that, and her anger, and it becomes an incredibly emotional scene from watching Olivia's face. Again, a moment where she's incredibly moving, but it's also very funny because she's just quite ridiculous at the same time.
Well, and that dance scene becomes microcosm of the whole film, that, you know, at the end, yeah, it's been ridiculous and absurd. And by the way, Abigail didn't really poison your character, Sarah, but and the Queen really didn't have rabbits to replace her children. But there's enough of real heartbreak at the end. There was a power struggle, but there was love.
Yeah, it is a love story.
Yeah, after all.
Yeah.
We're talking about the film The Favorite. It's many critics' favorites. Its star, Rachel Weisz, and director, Yorgos Lanthimos. Thank you for such a beautiful film.
Thank you.
Thank you.